you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO. Rob Artigo here, your guest host for another edition of the Tough Things First podcast with Ray Zinn. I'm a writer and entrepreneur in California. Being invited back is always a pleasure, Ray. Thanks again.
Hey, Rob. It's always good to have you on the program, so thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome. We hear a lot these days about uniting the startup with a story, and I know that Marcus Lemonis on CNBC's The Prophet, he comes to mind because I've heard him talk to people about when they're laying out their displays or their concepts for their stores, to have some kind of story that they're trying to tell. And that can be the story of, you know, the single mom who, invented a mop or something, and a certain kind of special mopping device, or being able to get that story built into the concept of the company. And then also, a lot of entrepreneurs are coming out and saying, not only are we a good company and we're aware of what's going on in the world, but we're also charitable and we're good people. So every time you buy our product, we'll donate some money to, you know, I think one was for every pair of eyeglasses they sell, they'll give a pair to a kid who needs them in a poor part of Africa or something. Or, for example, if you buy our water, you contribute some of the proceeds to a system for cleaning up the plastics in the ocean or something. And these are ideas, I think, that a lot of young people are going to business going, well, I have to show that I'm being charitable, so I have to do that. I'm not sure if it's a matter of them sincerely feeling like they want to do the right thing, but feel like they have to do the right thing. But you understand what I'm saying here. Is this a good approach with the business? Is it something that you need to do, both the story and the charity?
It's all part of building your brand. The brand is something you recognize. It's like Levi with that picture of two horse teams or mule teams pulling on each side of the pair of jeans, showing how tough they are. Ford talks about, Ford being Ford tough. You're trying to build a brand, like Hewlett Packard's, their brand was built around, doing it the HP way, quality, reliability, and so forth. So every, company, in order to enhance their brand has to have some story. In other words, how do we tell this? Because people remember stories. They don't necessarily maybe remember a brand, but they'll remember a story. Whether it be, Air Jordan to remember, those Nike shoes. So, they like to have some image that they'll, because an image will stand, stick in somebody's head more than say just the what the product actually does. So, we're always working on that brand, and having a story behind the brand is what will help enhance the product. My grandson has a company called Gorilla Marketing. And so, so you hit that image of that gorilla, big, powerful, and, capable, as you would physically. We try to associate the image of this gorilla with marketing, if it's a mother with that mop or whatever was developed, you can just picture that mother pushing around this mop. It's that image, that's something that will help you remember the product when you go out to buy it. Now, we've kind of got two stories here. One is this, the image of helping you know, enhance the brand or strengthen the brand in the mind of the consumer. And the other is about, you know, being thought of as a charitable organization. So, you know, charity begins at home. And so, I would suggest that the best way you can show charity is towards your employees. And so having a charitable, type of company means that you treat your people right. And so, you know, before you think about, you know, charity outside your company, think of charity in your company. And because then they'll spread the word and people want to work there. So, I think, you know, if you want to focus on charity, make sure your own house is clean as you would as before you start spreading it out, cleaning up outside. And I know there are employees who like to work for companies who appear to be charitable, especially the younger, you know, millennial types, you know, because they're thinking about, well, what can we do to help society? If the product, by the way, that they're building is helping society, whether it be, you know, solar, you know, or cleaning up the oceans, as you point out, doing something good for the environment, employees like to be involved in that. So that's another way that companies can enhance their company is by having a type of product or having a kind of image of helping the world or helping the environment. So when we talk about charity being, you know, giving away a free pair of glasses or whatever, to some child in Africa or whatever, those are good, but, you know, make sure you're being charitable with your employees. Because they'll spread the word and they will feel better if they know you're charitable to your people. And so that's the thing I want to emphasize in this podcast is charity begins at home. And so home, if you're the CEO of a company, means your employees.
Going back to CNBC, there's also the show Shark Tank. And I've noticed that when people are pitching the sharks, oftentimes probably a lot more a lot more often than not is they not only do that, they present the story with their brand, which is one half, but they almost always have some kind of thing. Well, and we're going to donate 10 cents for every one of these things to some kind of cause. And it almost feels to me when I see it, and I'm not commenting on whether or not I know, you know, they're what's in their hearts, but it feels like it's obligatory rather than something they're actually doing to help. And the fact that you say charity starts at home, that's something you can do. People aren't, you're not advertising that. Your people are seeing you do it within, you know, within your business. And there can be lots of charity there, but is it a mistake to fake it when you're trying to put it forward in a public way? Virtue signaling is what comes to mind.
Yeah. I mean, when we have a disaster, like, you know, whether it be, you know, like the floods and or some other, you know, the big Paradise Fire or whatever, and people, you know, get on and say, you know, if you buy our car, we'll donate, you know, 10% of the proceeds to, you know, the Paradise Fire people, and, you know, or they, to me that's being somewhat disingenuous. They're using this disaster to help pump up their business. And that bothers me. So that's, you know, it's kind of like a one shot thing, you know, where they'll try to encourage you to come buy something because it's, some of the money's going to go to helping out the people that were involved in a disaster. Those are kind of disingenuous. The ones that are, I think, have a little more play to them is, for example, this one company on Shark Tank, talked about building, you know, backpacks and building or making other carrying devices out of firefighters or, you know, first responders equipment. In other words, you know, those yellow striped things, you know, they take that material and they make these different devices. And then they said they donate some of those funds that they got from those carrying devices back to the first responder people. So that's a little more genuine that way, or they may be using the cloth made in in some poor country, Zimbabwe or somewhere, and they are making, you know, are letting the people in that area build their product. And sometimes that is something that would intrigue, you know, customers to buy because they think they're helping this poor country.
They're not getting it from mainland China. They're getting it from a place where, the entrepreneurs have their little businesses where they're doing something and they're hiring people and they're creating jobs.
Exactly. And I know that some companies are trying to help these South American countries that are, you know, trying to immigrate to the U.S. They're trying to build jobs down there for them, so they'll be more willing and likely to stay in their countries rather than having to immigrate 2,000 miles to the U.S. So, those are, I think, are ones that are more genuine.
I saw on TV, I've seen the commercial a few times. I think it's called Firehouse Subs, and they did sort of the same thing. One thing they do is they go, well, every time you buy a sandwich from us, we will donate to first responders. And, they set themselves up. Hey, we are Firehouse Subs. We're the company that, we're started by firefighters and we're going to support firefighters. And I think that sort of approach is interesting. It obviously takes away from their bottom line. I'm assuming they are competitively priced. I've never been to Firehouse Subs, but I'm assuming they're competitively priced, which means they're making less money than their competitors by giving money to the first responders. But first responders need the support, right? So, I mean, I see that, and I see that side of the coin. That also seems like a pretty genuine thing to do. If that's how you're going to – that's part of your brand.
Well, Delta Airlines does something which is similar, but doesn't cost them any money. What they do, they say, okay, we're going to allow people with children to get on first. And then they'll say, okay, we'll put in, zone one, zone two. And so, but what they do also, what I think is interesting is they allow military people to board the airplane first. And they actually say, we thank you for your service, and please feel free to board now. Cause it's always better to be able to get on the airplane first, to get seated and get a good place to put your luggage and so forth. But I don't think it costs Delta anything to do that. But it's, again, recognizing and showing charitably, how they feel about the military by allowing them to get on the airplane first. So it's that sort of thing you can do. Or if your company is conscious of environmentally, maybe you have hand dryers that are the powered electric ones, like a hair dryer type, to dry your hands rather than using paper, save the tree as you would. And so I see companies doing that. Depending upon what kind of bags they use to bag your groceries, they'll use more environmental friendly, materials. There are ways you can do things that appeal to your customer, like letting the military on the airplane first without actually costing you a lot of money. So, companies should focus on doing what can we do to show people we care, but it necessarily doesn't cost us a whole lot of money.
Thanks, Ray.
You're welcome.
Join the conversation at toughthingsfirst.com. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Ray tries to get those questions answered, and he reads those messages. So get those messages into him at toughthingsfirst.com. Follow Ray on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. He posts regularly. Of course, you got to get the book, Tough Things First, if you haven't already gotten it. And also Ray's new book, The Zen of Zen. Thanks, Ray.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for taking the time today.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.